A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sans Pants Radio.
Honk.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
I'm Jonathan Valenzuela.
And we are here to tell you all about the indie games that we've played in the last week. Have we loved them? Have we hated them? Did they love us? Did they hate us? Time to find out.
Yeah.
John, what is an indie game?
Oh no, not again, this. No! It's a roguelite or a roguelike.
Today we're going to be talking about Creature in the Well, River City Girls, and Rad. John, I spoke for like 20 straight minutes last week talking about Bloodstained, so why don't you lead us?
Blasphemous.
Well, whatever. You know what? You just fucking... One of them's got to go. Put them in a room together, one of them's got to go.
At this point, Bloodstained, probably.
Yeah, Bloodstained, unfortunately. Oh, I did like that, the earlier one, Curse of the Night.
Sure, but...
Yeah, you're right. It's got to go.
It's up against Blasphemous. Loved Blasphemous.
It's got to go, everybody.
Yeah. Rad. Cool. Well, in that case, I'm going to talk about Rad. So, Rad, developed by the fun-loving guys and gals at Double Fine, the Tim Schafer-led company that is kind of an indie darling. You might know it for Broken Age or Psychonauts or the upcoming Psychonauts 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rad is it's published by Bandai Namco, which they're a pretty big company, but we've talked about, like, one of those big companies that has like an indie publishing arm as well.
This is a bit, like, I think like Double Fine is like, you know, even though they've grown and certainly put out like, if not AAA, then double A games.
Yes.
You know, like Brutal Legend was their attempt at making like the biggest game possible at the time.
Yeah.
I feel like they are at heart, at its core, and certainly Tim Schafer, you know, like they're indie darlings, you know.
Yes.
I'll allow this. They actually were just bought by Microsoft though.
Yeah. Or they've been folded into the development. Or the stable of developers, I guess. Which, cool. Like, I'm happy they're getting money.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've promised that everybody that has purchased... Like, Psychonauts 2 is coming out on every console. It won't be a Xbox or Microsoft exclusive. Anyway, so Rad is... it's a roguelike. Listened to an episode like four episodes ago for the definition of roguelike.
Oh, just look
roguelike.
It up yourself.
Yeah, exactly. No, we want them listening. Let's pump them listener numbers. It's a roguelike video game played from an isometric perspective. It basically like it takes place in a sort of irradiated wasteland after the post-apocalypse. You control a teenager. You're like sent out because I think your village is running out of water or something like that. You need to go out into this wasteland and find out what happened. You are given this ability to kind of take radiation in and use it to create mutations in yourself.
So RAD stands for radiation.
Yes. But it also doubles because it has a very like 80s aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, like it's tubular, if you will. And radiation kind of takes the place of XP. So you earn up radiation, and once you fill your radiation bar, you get a new mutation. The mutations are randomized every time. So with each playthrough, you might have had like your arm turns into a boomerang that you can throw at enemies and come back. But then the next time you play through, you die, you start a new round. And this time your first main mutation might be wings. So you can use those wings to like jump even higher. You can glide. You can hover above enemies and ground pound them, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's all about you kind of like trying to sort of bring, humanity back from the brink, essentially.
Yeah, right.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. While playing it, I had the realization that I'm a bit burnt out on roguelikes and roguelites at the moment.
Right, whereas like I was recently like, oh, I love them now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think I've reached a point where I'm like, I think after my 10th or 11th death, I was like, I just want progress. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not progressing through this. I'm just, you know, getting to the second kind of world and then dying and then, oh crap, now I have to start again kind of thing.
It's funny, like the kind of, it's a very kind of cutesy character design. It's a very colorful, fun game with like, you know, lots of cool aliens and like the your team of friends looks like, you know, like pretty fun too.
Yeah.
This looks like it would lend itself to like just a standard kind of like RPG action game.
Yeah.
Like a kind of like a more in your, like a more like a Bastion or a Diablo more than it would a roguelike. But
and there's very like when you move from one world to the next, because one, like your home base where you start every time you do a run, there's a guy that's like, hey, bring me back a plant seed from the wasteland. So every time you kind of like, you, all the levels I've played so far involve you like turning on a number of lasers that open up the final kind of little boss area, and you have to go in and fight a boss. And then once you defeat the boss and go through, there are two portals in front of you. One portal takes you to the next world. One portal takes you back to your home base. But they don't mark which is which.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So
it's like by chance?
I can't tell because
are you playing it with the volume down and there's actually someone saying, go in the left one if you want to go home, but go in the right one if you want to go to the next world.
Totally. Actually, this is the only time I've been able to tell previously is there's a chicken outside one of the portals.
Okay.
And there are like chickens in your home base. So I'm like, well, it must be that one because the chickens wandered through kind of thing. But every time I've had the seed, the chicken isn't there and I've always picked the wrong one.
Yep.
Like one's white and one's pink, but I haven't figured out whether white or pink means home or the next thing. Anyway, if you like roguelikes, it's a fun time. Like I particularly like the fact that it randomizes the mutations with each playthrough.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you can never kind of like depend and you have to learn to adapt to whatever mutation you're given.
And it sounds like there's a lot more variety in that than just getting a new weapon on a new run like Dead Cells or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely like... And it's got like some real like cool, you know, there's one mutation I had. I could fire like mental bullets that would take over an enemy and they'd fight for me.
Oh, that's fun.
Another one where I'm a cobra, like my head turns into a cobra's head and I can bite people and poison them, shoot fire, like there's a shoot fireballs one, there's all kinds of different stuff. So a lot of creativity in this. And yeah, the whole like the 80s vibe to it's pretty funny as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So are you going to give it more time?
Probably. I mean, like, look, September's huge. So maybe after September.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely a game I can see myself kind of, I think it's one of those games where I got frustrated, but I think if I come back a little bit later, it'll be like, oh, suddenly I'm on the fourth world and I'm having a great playthrough kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's rad.
Well, I've been playing Creature in the Well, which I'm pretty close to completion, but God, those last levels are absolutely kicking my butt. This is a game where you play a robot you enter a town that's been covered in sand and you can't talk to anybody and it's like pretty like, you know, like deserted, a lot of sand though.
And deserted.
But then you go into like a dungeon and there's a fucking creature beneath you.
Oh no.
Like looking up at you.
Ooh.
And it's like being all menacing, telling you to fuck off, that kind of thing. and then you get like a weapon, like a, I think it's like a baseball bat or a sword or something like that.
Sure.
No, you know what it is? The first thing you get is a pipe.
Ooh.
And this is a hack and slash dungeon crawling game, but it's also pinball.
Yes.
So there are lots of different puzzle rooms. You have your pipe. You actually get a secondary weapon shortly after that. You basically, yeah, like your pipe, you can, in the middle of each room is a ball. And it respawns a new ball every 5 seconds. So if you hit it once, then another one will respawn. You can put like two balls in the mix. And basically you want to aim and take out all these different pinball bumpers or enemies with the balls as you start whacking them. You then get a secondary weapon which charges Basically, like, yeah, you can do a charge shot. So, like, basically, you hold it down and it's going, like, swish, 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 swish either side, and it gathers up all of the balls in the area.
Okay.
And then you aim it at, like, you know, your bumpers or an enemy, and then it sends all the balls out there. And there are, like, it gets more and more challenging, and it introduces new different enemy types and weird kind of bumper mechanics as you enter each room. When you clear the room, all your balls get sucked into this... the middle of the room, I guess, and like a big circular bumper, and there's this brilliant animation, this super satisfying animation of all the balls going like ding 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 as your like power level goes higher and higher, because basically the reason you're going into all these rooms is that you are gathering power to turn on all the machinery in this dungeon that this creature is trying to prevent you from turning back on,
right?
Because he doesn't want the town to
have power.
Prosper again?
He's
I don't know.
He's a prick.
Yeah, he's an absolute prick. And so, yeah, when you die, the creature's hand comes up from below and grabs you.
Ooh.
And then throws you out of the well.
Oh, cool.
And then, but yeah, like as you turn on different, so there's like, I think it's like 10 different zones, and each one turns on a different part of this town. Like
okay.
Power or security or like, you know, different things like that. It's very, very, like satisfying when you finish a new area, but the gameplay is really, really fun at first, especially when you're getting your hand around it. But then instead of like making things more kind of like varied, it just adds like outliers, like, oh, this is a timer.
Right.
And so you have to turn off all the bumpers in like a 10 second window.
Right.
So it's really, really frantic. And it doesn't feel like proper difficulty. It just feels like
force
challenge. Yeah, yeah. And you're just like, when you don't get it, you're just like, oh, come on. Like, and it's hard to be like quite precise, but there are weapons that you can find. If you complete every challenge in each room or world, each zone, you can access new paths that then lead you to like different weapons. So one weapon will like, have like a laser pointer that shows you exactly what you're aiming at. Or one of them allows you to every time you return an enemy shot, you gain energy back. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a really, really clever idea. It does not hold your hand at all.
Right.
So like the first like 20 minutes of the game, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? It's really easy to just kind of like walk into the sandstorm and then it will just like respawn you at the beginning of the game again. But it reminds me of Hyperlight Drifter in a way.
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm looking at trailers, I got a little bit of that vibe, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the gameplay is completely different, but the way the you get like only snippets of lore of the world, and there's so many weird, menacing things in this world, and I guess overall the kind of visual style is very unique. There's a flatness to it. Apparently, it was inspired by Hellboy.
Interesting.
I'm definitely going to try and finish this one. Obviously, I've been blaspheming instead of finishing. My turning the well back on, but
right.
I'm enjoying it. It's cool. Creature in the Well. It was who put this one out? This is developed and published by Flight School Studio. It's out on Switch, Windows, and Xbox One.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's cool. I really enjoy it.
Cool. I think I pre-ordered it, so should be well. It's very much out by the time you're listening to this, dear listener.
Yeah, it's $22.50 Australian.
Yeah, I'll be giving it a run.
There's a discount going until like, oh, it's probably finished by now. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good game. I've also been playing River City Girls. You will have known from when I reviewed the Friends of Ringo Ishikawa that I'm a big fan of the River City Ransom games.
Yeah.
That started on the NES. They're games in which you play a Japanese schoolboy who beats the shit out of endless waves of other Japanese schoolboys.
Just
varying shades of colored uniforms.
Yeah.
Friends of Ringo Ishikawa turned it into a like
life sim
RPG like storytelling game.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite, very unique, awesome indie games of the year too.
Yeah.
But, on the flip of this, it's always been a game, a style of game, like a beat-em-up game. Even the beat-em-up genre, it's always very much associated with, like, you play a dude trying to rescue your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So,
or the president. Who's your girlfriend?
River City Girls is a game made by WayForward, who are best known for the Shantae series, and they've done countless other third-party and licensed games in the past. I've got their Mighty Switch Force collection on the back burner that I want to try and play very soon. But I love WayForward. I think they're, like, even when I don't fully connect with their game, I just admire, I love their dedication to like pixel art and great animation in games and just the overall style. Like this game has like a full pumping girl guitar pop soundtrack.
Nice.
Your two River City girls, Kyoko and Masako, whose boyfriends are kidnapped or are missing at the start of the game. Ooh. And so you have to fight your way through the school, like starting with the classroom in which the principal goes over the thing saying, don't let the girls leave. I'll give everyone money if they can stop them. So like you start beating up your classmates and you have to make your way through the school. The beat 'em up element is so much fun. You level up really, like, you know, every time you level up, you can you either unlock more abilities or new abilities and moves unlock in the dojo.
Okay.
So the second area once you get through the school is the city, and there's all these different stores that you can buy, like health power ups, and you can visit a dojo and learn new moves.
Sweet.
Or you can get even there's an underwear store where you can buy underwear that gives you different, you know, abilities. You don't actually see the girls in the underwear, it's just right. You buy them. It's got like a bomb bra or something like that.
Sure,
you know, it's fun. It is like, you know, it is like it definitely relies on that, you know, the anime sexiness trope a little bit, but I think it is, because it's an American game, there is a knowing, like, you know, it knows what it's trying to do, and it's tongue in cheek about it too.
Yeah. And the two characters you play as, they are not playable, but they're in other games, I think.
So there are characters from River City Ransom
right. In
this game,
okay.
Including like the overall the tutorial is like the kind of classic 8-bit sprite of one of the main characters from River City Ransom. He just kind of tells you what to do. I don't know. He's just his head,
right? Okay.
as you get through, and the beat 'em up style, even though like you have like a bigger move set than your average, you know, like NES or SNES beat 'em up game, it's very much like, you know, you go through, you finish one room and then you go to the next room and you beat up everyone in there, then you move on to the next room. There's like fun weapons that people come through, as always. This is like always one of my favorite things to play in these games when I was a kid. Like a yo-yo is a weapon.
Nice.
And the yo-yo is always the best weapon.
Yeah.
yeah. And then at the end of maybe it's like 20 to 30 rooms that you've got to go through, and then there's a boss. And fucking hell.
Yeah?
The bosses are so hard.
Really?
Just because, like, I don't know, I feel like you level up, it's really satisfying. Like, you know, it's even just a fun way to just kill time. I love just, like, you know, button mashing my way through hordes and hordes of enemies. But then, there are patterns you need to memorize, and you can't. It changes a lot. There's a lot more strategy involved. It almost becomes more like a punch out kind of boss than you still got to beat the hell out of them. But there are, like, I don't know, in a way that, like, a Blasphemous, for example, I talked about last week. Like the boss fights in that are every move is flagged, and you just have to learn the patterns, learn when to dodge, learn when to block, learn when to attack. It just doesn't feel as clear, and it feels just in such a stark contrast to the rest of the game, where it's like I feel like most beat 'em up games, I won't block the entire time. So maybe this is on me that I'm finding it. Obviously this is on me. I feel like the game doesn't really encourage you to block at all during the main part of the game.
Okay,
but then it relies on you doing so in the boss fights.
So it's almost not teaching you during the main part of the game,
or it's like. Maybe it is. Maybe because you level up and you become stronger by, you know, just dying and churning and going back and forth between the rooms and leveling up that way.
Sure.
Maybe that negates the why I would learn to play the game properly or something. I don't know.
Is there any tutorial elements to
it? There really is. They're really good. It's just like I just mean, it's just one of those things where like the boss battles are so much harder than the rest of the game. And so, like, I'll be having the most fun time just, like, mowing through enemies, and then it's, like, just hitting a wall where you're like, oh, I don't want to learn this enemy's patterns right now. I think what I'm saying is this game is so fun, except the boss battles aren't fun.
Right, okay.
They're not bad. They're just not fun. They're
like a slog.
Yeah. No, it's not even a slog. I think I think when I go back, basically what it is I'll get up to a boss. I'm on the fourth kind of area now.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I'll have the best time, like spending an hour making my way through like one level to the end, getting all the secrets in the level. There's lots of fun kind of like story missions that you have to do for characters you meet along the way.
Okay.
Including like one great, if not a little bit frustrating part where you have to steal keys from a security guard to break into the mall. And he's sleeping surrounded by squeaky soft toys.
Amazing.
So you have to like jump on his furniture to get around him so he doesn't wake up to the squeaks.
Awesome. That's so good.
Like, just like really, really real great creative. Little moments like that. The dialogue's really fun, good voice acting, excellent music throughout. I'll get through all the level and have heaps of fun doing that. Like, you do die, like just, you know, playing the game.
That's
but
life,
it doesn't punish you much. Then when I get to a boss, I'll have like three cracks at it and I'll just put the game down and then come back to it, you know, the next day or whatever. And then I'll actually go, okay, reset, learn the boss. Now I'm going to do it. But yeah, sure. the two parts of the game don't flow into each other very well.
Yeah.
It's an excellent game. If you are missing like a beat 'em up, I think the god tier of this style game is, for recent times, is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Definitely.
The Ubisoft developed game that was out on PS3 and Xbox
360.
It doesn't really exist anymore.
No, sadly.
The licensing is all fucked up, which is, I would love someone to work out. I would love to replay that on Switch. I'll never get rid of my PS3 because that game is on it. But
of course.
Like, you know, if you want to see a gorgeous pixel art beat 'em up game with, again, it's a licensed game too. That game is just, it's so much fun.
You really? Yeah. I had it on Xbox 360.
It's so good. I was hoping this would be as good as that. And it comes damn close. It maybe as I get better at it. Maybe sure. It's not about this game being better.
It's about you being better.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a lesson to learn. It's $45 Australian.
Yeah.
Which seems a little on the pricey side for this kind of a game.
That's the sort of, like, that price tag is where I drop a few thousand Nintendo points.
Yeah, totally.
To get it down to something a bit more manageable.
I reckon it won't be long before this is like
a sale game.
A $30 game, I would say, yeah. Look, there's a lot of backtracking as well. I think the game is like, it pads itself out a little bit, but because the combat is so fun, I don't have an issue with it.
Sure.
I like leveling up and grinding in a beat 'em up game.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to finish this one.
Awesome.
So maybe I'll come back to the game later in the year at some point and give you an update if you're still on the fence by that point.
Cool.
John, I'm going to have a sip of water.
That's awesome.
While you tell everybody the email address to get us on.
You can hit us up on allthesmallgames@gmail.com if you want to send us an electronic letter. You can also hit us up at allthesmallgame for Twitter, @allthesmallgame.
Yep.
Or facebook.com/allthesmallgames if Facebook is more your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, you can get Levin's @levdog, DAWG, or myself @16tacos. Those are for Instagram and Twitter both.
Yep.
And yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So we got some emails this week. I will let everyone know that I think our email address is being like found by bots, but that we're only getting like video game spam. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So this one, Loslia June sent me an email saying, "Your Xbox rocks. Greetings, how are you? I am Magnolia Amelita. I am from Compass Computer Technologies. I came across that you're excited about Xbox. We are offering Xbox gift cards. In case you are involved, just simply Google search Xbox free codes XXX. If you find that I'm bugging you, please reply unsubscribe and I will by no means mail you back again. Thanks much.
Okay then.
Seth Bryant. Oh, wait, no, this is actually the real one. This one's by CC.
Hold on, let me Google Xbox free codes XXX on my work computer.
Hello, glad to hear that. Oh, wait, sorry, this is the subject is, I used 99% of luck to meet you in the video game industry.
Oh my God.
Hello, glad to hear that you're on the market for a video game. This is CC from westongames.com. Nowadays, global market for video game price is not stable and keep raising every month. We believe you must to consider stock one more potential good and strong supplier. Our company is a professional repair parts and accessories manufacturer with 10 years experience. We have some star products, which quality is pretty good, and the price is very acceptable, such as Xbox 360 and PS4. We want to avail ourselves of opportunity establishing business relation with you. Please contact me for any more information. Free sample and quotation will be sent for your evaluation. Yep. Pretty great. Thanks, Miss CC.
I do love the kind of the way the language they use.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah. Do we have any actual emails?
We do. We got three.
Okay.
This one is from Tyler. Hey, Levins. I noticed that I never hear you talking about Deku deals or on this or any of your other podcasts. It's a great website that lets you track discounts on Nintendo Switch games and lets you know what the price history is, for example, the sale history, and it'll notify you when a game on your wish list goes on sale. It's Deku Deals, so Deku Deals.com.
Like reference to Zelda?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Slash game. I mean, Deku is a Japanese thing as well.
Sure.
But yeah, thanks, Tyler. That is really, really helpful. I've signed up and I wish this was the shop front for the eShop.
Sure.
It's really, really good. Head to DekuDeals.com/games. And it immediately shows you all the games on sale right now and what the discount is. And okay, you can wish list them and that will email you if certain ones go on sale.
That's great.
It's great.
Very useful.
Big recommend. Thank you, Tyler. I thought we were saying that we want that.
Yes.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, definitely.
Clearly emailed us before we recorded last week's episode. Hey guys, since you're weekly now, which is amazing in itself, any chance that we're getting that local multiplayer episode that you've talked about soon? I'm always looking for cool new games to justify all those extra controllers I bought. Just got Heave Ho on the Switch and Man of Medan on Steam. It's from the guys that made Until Dawn, so maybe not small, but the concept seems pretty unique for multiplayer. Can't wait to try them out. I reckon aside from the obvious ones like Overcooked, my top pick for indie couch fun is Regular Human Basketball, a normal basketball game. Keep up the good work. Beyon.
Cool.
Nidhogg 2.
Nidhogg 2.
Always Nidhogg 2. Duck Game. Nidhogg 2. Duck Game. Those are the kings.
There was a game...
Tricky Towers. I said that last time, but yeah.
There was a game that I saw last week when we were doing the indie megabooth stuff from PAX. Let me just... What's it called?
Fuck, I just realized I forgot to talk about the Celeste thing last week.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Matt Makes Games is no longer Matt Makes Games. He's the guy who made... what's it called? Towerfall Ascension.
Yes.
And, of course, Celeste. So he announced that we're getting... Fuck, this week.
Yeah.
We've already got it. Sorry. Look, full disclosure. We record two episodes on the same day.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're talking to you from the past.
Yeah.
But I bet you while you're listening to this episode, I'm kicking back playing Chapter 9 of Celeste.
Hell yeah.
Can you believe it?
Farewell, I believe it's
How
called.
Did I get so terrible at this game in such a short amount of time?
Yeah.
But yeah, Matt Makes Games is now a
company.
A company, that's right. And what's the company called again?
Matt Makes Company. Let me just find the relevant thing you told me this on. Where is it?
He changed it. Fuck. I messaged it to you.
It's Extremely Okay Games.
Great name.
Yeah, it's an extremely okay name.
But Beyond Towerfall Ascension, a great multiplayer game.
Yeah, and it's
extremely okay multiplayer game.
The PAX West one that I saw is called Dunk Lords.
Fuck
and
yeah.
It's basically like NBA Jam meets a brawling game.
Right, awesome.
Yeah, looks really cool.
And this last one is from Seth. He says, hey guys, really enjoying... the show so far, I find you have a great chemistry and like the easygoing feel of the show. I also think the switch to The switch to shorter, more regular episodes is made for easier listening. My question is, yeah, I imagine everyone's like, oh, thank God, this episode isn't fucking 2 hours long.
Yeah.
My question is, could you recommend any small games with any LGBT plus characters or themes? As a queer trans guy who loved Stardew Valley and its inclusion of same-sex relationships, I would love to play more indie games which acknowledge me and other members of the LGBT plus community. Thanks for the great show, Seth.
Off the top of my head, A Night in the Woods.
Yep.
Definitely has some great LGBT
And that has been in the news recently for the wrong reasons, good people worked on that game too.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, it is a good game.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. Let's not dive into that news. That's one off the top of my head.
Gone Home is the other very kind of obvious one,
yes,
too.
Yes, of course.
There's a lot of games that have queer or non-binary characters, including Wonder Song. It came out that the bard is non-binary.
That's right, yeah.
Which I think is really, really cool. And that's the kind of representation where it's like, at no point is that discussed in the game. It's just, the bard is never referred to as he or she. The game.
That's a good point.
They are there.
And I think you mentioned last week that Shovel Knight is going
gender
non-binary.
That's right. You can. You can be a he, a she, or a they.
Yeah.
If you want the game to talk to you or the other characters as such. Some other more recent games that we've spoken about in the podcast are, there are gay characters in Transistor.
Sure.
Which is an excellent game. The game 2064 Read Only Memories, and from the same... developers, was it Valhalla? It's like VA-11 Hall A, Valhalla. They both have lots of diverse characters in those games. Undertale, there are lots of queer relationships and non-binary characters in both Undertale and its sequel. In fact, the main character, I think, is what's the Undertale sequel? It's Undertale with the... Deltarune.
Deltarune, that's right. It's an anagram.
The main character of that is non-binary, I think.
I think Oxenfree has some like... You control the character and you can choose to pursue same-sex relationships.
Yeah, cool.
And I think they don't make a big deal out of it. It's just you can choose to do it.
And then did you play Doki Doki Literature Club?
I'm aware of it.
Lots of like pansexual themes in that one as well.
The horror game, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a novel. What's it? Game-based novel. What are those games called?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We know what they are.
It's Japanese.
So I hope that helps. I mean, sorry if that was a bit obvious, some of those, but hopefully we recommended a few ones. There definitely should be more representation in games, period. Like, I think though, art and media is how people... like get over the bullshit,
yeah.
Like that associated with, like, because you know the reason half the fucking discrimination exists is because people have never encountered someone that is different in the first place, and they don't want to.
And there are definitely, I mean, there are steps being taken by the AAAs.
Mm.
Like I think recently, Cyberpunk 2077, there was a big.
Oh, they're fucking idiots.
but look, they like. They are at least trying.
Because they're fucked up that many times.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to get... Yeah, it's...
But I think the part of the problem as well is the audience hears about that and just goes mental. Is like, how dare you do this
thing? It's so bad.
AAAs are horrible for this kind of stuff. But I think indie games, there's definitely like... That's one of the great things about indie games is that the kind of people that play indie games are much more accepting of like... Hell yeah, fine. Make him, you know, non-binary. Make him, you know, genderqueer, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a game called Your Royal Gayness that was made in Finland.
Okay, then.
The player takes the role of a gay prince left as regent while his parents are away for 60 days. While managing the kingdom, the player character secretly courts princes from other kingdoms. The spy master Seraph's gender is left purposely ambiguous, and the character uses they and them pronouns. That sounds cool. Bring your royal gayness to Switch.
I think there's also like Dream Daddy.
Oh, fuck yeah. I actually really want to play that.
Yeah.
The character designs on that look great.
And game I mentioned last week from the PAX part, Boyfriend Dungeon. Like, I think you can date both women and men in that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, please, like, if you have some examples of great representation for the LGBTI plus community.
Yeah.
Let us know. Again, the email address is allthesmallgames@gmail.com. We are on Twitter as well, @allthesmallgame. I think John said it earlier. Follow us. We're great. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to another episode.
And make sure you listen to next week's episode.
Why?
Because Untitled Goose Game Review, Overland Review.
Honk it up, motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's
honk it up, mother honkers.
There's so many games coming out. So looking forward to it.
Oh, man. Can't wait to be a goose.
Oh, hell yeah.